107.3.
You're on Stages here at 2SER 107.3 with me, Roderick Chambers, and I've just got in the studio Courtney Powell, who is the director of a new play. Well, not a new play, it's a Harold Pinter play.
That's right.
So it's a bit of a classic, really, and it's the Throwing Shade Theatre Company who are on at the Pulse Studio.
Yeah, the Actors Center. Pulse, that's it.
Actors Pulse, sorry, Actors Pulse, there we go. Courtney, thanks so much for coming in the studio.
Thank you for having me.
I think you should tell us, we were discussing a little bit earlier off air that I was thinking The Caretaker was one play, but it's not, it's this classic Pinter.
It is.
Tell us, before I have too many dramatic pauses, tell us.
We should just do the whole interview with just me not responding in a timely fashion, and then you'd get a real sense of the play.
That's right. So, before we do all that, give us a bit of a rundown on what this play covers.
So this play, in my approach to it, really covers a very timeless set of themes like homelessness and rejection and the unknown and mental illness. And there's a bunch of themes that were as relevant 50 years ago as they are now.
So you've got this older guy who's really like a street person, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And so you see him at the beginning, and what, just give us a little bit of an idea of the plot.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So Davies is the older homeless man, and Aston finds Davies. We hear that there's been a bit of a biff at a cafe, and Aston invites him home to his house to have a sit down for just a minute, and we hear a bit of Davy's sorry story about how he's sort of been kicked around all these places and is forever in want of a good pair of shoes so he can try and get himself together. And then Aston eventually says, well, do you want to sleep here the night? Which turns into, do you want to stay here until you get yourself together? Which is such an act of kindness. I mean, no one invites strangers into their homes and offers to help them get back on their feet. And that's quite a beautiful moment that we see. And then enters Mick, who is Aston's younger brother, and does not give Davies the same kind of treatment. Kind of torments him a bit and just is sort of sizing him up. And then we have this interesting power play where Davies is trying to play these two brothers, and it's we kind of watch Davies dig himself into quite a big hole, and. And all without, as classic absurdist theatre, we don't see anything happen. The plot does not thicken. The plot does not thin. The plot doesn't come to anything. I mean, a lot of action happens, but there's no resolution, which is especially regarding these themes of like homelessness and care and illness and aggression. We really desperately want a resolution.
Yeah, you want to know what the answer is to all this, but there isn't an answer.
There is not one.
Maybe that is the answer, isn't it?
Yeah. That's very, that's very well put. Yeah.
But I gather we will know a lot more about these three characters by the end of the play.
You will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty, and that's the loveliness of Pinter with such sparse dialogue at times, which is his signature, isn't it?
Well, the Pinter pause.
It's what's not seen. It's,
and there is so much that's not exactly.
But it's amazing, isn't it, when you've seen this done well, you can see thoughts going through people's minds. And you think, how does that happen? How do I know what they're thinking?
That's so true. And the actors in this play have got such a handle on what gives life to those pauses. And it's not just silence. It's like they're exceptional. The way they breathe through those pauses and give their characters so much depth, even in not speaking. But then when there is extensive dialogue, it's so beautiful, and it stands so beautifully on its own. It's Pinter does both really well. What's that about? The silence is great.
Nothing has diminished over the years. See a Pinter play, you think this is just as powerful as it was.
Yeah.
And as a director, when you come and look at this sort of a script, I've never directed anything like this. So I'm just thinking, how do you approach it when you're reading something? You think, oh, now what does this pause mean? What are they going to be doing? Is this difficult for you, or is it easy for you?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I didn't prepare anything for those moments before getting in the room with the actors, because I couldn't I couldn't imagine what that connection would be between the three actors that we mm-hmm. had before seeing them together, and then what they do with each other in those pauses. I mean, it was just not something I had to prepare for, because they, with such little effort, managed to, like, their chemistry was so brilliant that when I'd say lucky, but they're very talented, so I guess they've worked hard for it. But
I can say the triumph is in the casting there, can't I? Because you've picked the right people, haven't you?
Well, I was lucky enough that they all said yes. So yeah, yeah, they created so many of those moments just through their own work, but and through their own chemistry, that I at the risk of sounding like I've under-directed it, a lot of it came organically, which I think is so beautiful. We didn't have to construct too much of it, which was beautiful.
I'm sure a lot of the actors too would be appreciating a bit of under-directing sometimes.
Oh, that director, she won't shut up.
But so did you see, when you first started working on it, did you find the play revealing itself to you because of this? Because we were actually in it, the action was happening, the actors were bringing their craft to it?
Oh, absolutely. I've not seen another production of The Caretaker. I've only been aware of it through Pinter's other work, which is an interesting thing. The other shows I've directed, I've done a lot of research and tried to see other productions of, but I very deliberately didn't seek any other productions out, because I was looking forward to it unfolding, especially absurdist theatre. I feel like, I mean, if you've seen a production of Waiting for Godot, then, I mean, there is many different interpretations, but I think you've seen it and you have that picture. It's like, you know, seeing the movie before you've read the book. For me, at least, that was my approach to this play. And I think having it, as you said, unravel before me was important for this particular play, because I feel like it added so much truth and an honest representation from all of us. Yeah, in its end result.
And how was it then, if you're looking at it from that point of view, did you have in your mind the way you were going to set the play or the blocking, that sort of thing, beforehand, or did you do it sort of organically?
The way I wanted to set the play, I had that in my mind.
You had that in your mind.
From the minute before we even started rehearsals, I very desperately wanted to make it a nondescript time period. Like, I didn't want to set it in the time it was written. I wanted to make it of an indiscriminate time. And so having a very stark set, I mean, everything on the set's white apart from a few key props. And I feel that image for me allowed me to let the blocking develop organically. I mean, really, a lot of key moments were blocked and thought through, but as I said, these three actors are so brilliant that a lot of what they produced just through instinct was exactly what the play needed.
So we should mention who they are.
Yeah. It's
Alex Bryant-Smith, Andrew Langcake, and Nicholas Papadimitriou.
That's it, you got it.
How did you come about casting these three guys?
Yeah, I've worked with Andrew Langcake for about 10 years now.
Oh, okay.
I cast him in a play about 10 years ago, and so we've been working partners on quite a few different shows. And Alex Bryant-Smith, he was our real wild card. I had no sort of connection, or I didn't know anything about him. And when he came in to audition for us, oh boy, there was no other Mick.
Right,
was his instinct and what he brought, even just to his audition, was exceptional. He was a real diamond in the rough.
So your heart lifted. You thought, I've got this cast.
Oh, absolutely. There was, I mean, we saw a lot of great people, but he was just so exceptional, and the complexities of his character that he nailed in an audition. He was very exceptional.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Look, that sounds really good. So the run, how long have you got it going for?
From tonight, we have from the 22nd, and we run till the 2nd. Yeah.
It's 103 Regent Street, Redfern.
That's it, right across from the station.
Well, it sounds like really powerful theatre.
Thank you.
I wish I could go tonight. I can't go tonight.
No worries. Let us know, and we'll.
But get out there. So it's 103 Refn Street, Refn, and you can look it up on throwingshade.com.au.
That's it.
And that's where you can get tickets from there, I suppose.
Absolutely. And keep your eyes peeled and for a discount code.
We can give away some tickets, can't we?
Yeah, we can. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
So let us know on Stages, either on the Facebook page or through Stages at 2SCR. And let us know, and we will get you the tickets for the caretaker by Throwing Shade.
That's it.
Anyway, Courtney Powell, director of this wonderful production, thank you so much for coming in and seeing us at Stages.
Thank you very, very much for having me.